You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
You know, Linda, it just seems like in many parts of the United States, these Democratic-run cities are just going up in flames with riots and civil unrest.
Well, it seems like it's been, and it truly has been, months and months and months of this in many different cities. And it's just continuing now in Philadelphia. We have more unrest. And, you know, the one thing that strikes me about virtually all of these cases when these riots start over a person of color being shot by police, the person of color being shot by police has done something egregiously wrong. It's not police going out and just shooting somebody on the street. It's somebody that was trying to attack them, shoot them, stab them,
seriously injure them. You know, this is a long time coming. You know, I wrote about this in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, when we talked about the Michael Brown and Officer Darren Wilson shooting, which is chapter 2 in the book. And the false narratives that were sent out in regards to that officer-involved shootings were just ridiculous. The entire premise of hands up, don't shoot, in reality, never happened. And the three people, including Michael Brown's partner, when they did the strong-arm robbery at the Pakistani market, that person admitted to the Federal Bureau of Investigation agents that he had lied about that. And the two other people that said the same thing and backed his play also admitted to lying. But yet, the mainstream media, the Black Lives Matter movement people, the founding members, the chapter presidents, all of them George Soros funded, they kept throwing out, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. And so, you know, this narrative continues, as you say, and almost every single time officers are involved in any major use of force, especially an officer-involved shooting, the circumstances are actually as you state them to be.
Well, they are completely different than the news states them to be almost 100% of the time. And I really think that most Americans understand that, but there are a large percent who just listen to the news and they believe what they hear, and they believe this false narrative that police are overly...
Well, disproportionately shooting people
exactly,
of color.
Exactly, disproportionately shooting.
Which is another false narrative, because that's not the case whatsoever. If you look at the officer-involved shooting statistics and fatal statistics, who they shoot and kill, twice as many people who are white are shot than people of color. And, you know, I'm going to get into this very deeply in a couple of minutes, because I've got some brand new statistics that I think are going to be shocking to people, but it's nothing different than what, you know, you and I have spoken about time and time again on this show.
You know, and the narrative never seems to change, and the news never seems to give us the real story. The thing that continues to strike me is what I just said. All of these cases are not just police randomly shooting somebody or shooting somebody that they really didn't have to shoot. These are all pretty much life and death situations for officers, and they did not cause them. They got a call for service, and that call, you know, while they're somewhere else minding their own business, they get a call, and the call says, you know, hey, we need your help for this situation. And they arrive, and when somebody is pointing a gun at them or
having a knife. Or some deadly weapon.
Exactly,
or even using a car against
a vehicle,
them, and, which is
and
a deadly weapon.
So let's just take three recent cases. Okay, one recent case where the officers went to pull somebody over for a violation of some sort, and the people fled in the car. So the officers pursued, and when the car was stopped, however it was stopped, The officer got out to engage them and then went back to his vehicle to, I guess, check on their reg. And the car started backing into the officer. So the officer fired his weapon. Now, do you not think that a vehicle coming at you is a deadly weapon? Of course it is. But the news put it out that the officer shot unarmed people of color. And that is not a correct way to put it.
Because they are armed with a motor vehicle that
Exactly.
is absolutely a deadly weapon.
Sure, especially when it squashes you between their car and your car.
The recent riots that have broken out across the United States deal with an officer-involved shooting where a man with a long history of criminal activity, right?
Including attempted murder.
And armed with a knife. And comes at the officers with the knife in a very threatening manner, after the officers repeatedly tell the man to drop the knife, and they end up shooting this man and killing this man. And the United States of America, in a number of large urban cities with large minority populations, comes unhinged. And nightly looting, burning, in one town alone in Philadelphia, 30 officers injured. And that's just absolutely despicable when people need to really know what the actual statistics are and how false these stories are that come out. And of course, every single time that there is a person of color that is shot and or killed by police officers, there is never an honest discussion of the fact pattern. There is never an honest discussion about what really happened out there, even if there's body camera or dash cam footage, never an honest discussion. And then you see the obligatory graduation picture of the person dressed nicely, usually in a suit and tie. I mean, you can almost see the angelic halo around this person that was violently threatening and or physically
And
attacking the
has a rap
officer.
sheet a mile long.
Exactly
So
that.
in the particular case that you're talking about, the news comes out and they bring out the obligatory pictures, as you say, and they bring out his three children. He's 26 years old. He has three children. He's got a history of mental issues. And his one child comes out on the news and he says, this is what racism looks like. And I mean this has nothing to do with racism. It has everything to do with his behavior and nothing to do with race. And what have his children learned here? What are his children saying to other people? That this is a matter of racism? It is totally wrong. Nobody wants to be accountable for what they're doing and the consequences that they suffer. Now, the same person who has this very long rap sheet, including attempted murder, what about all the people that suffered under him over the years? And I'm sure, quite honestly, that his children probably did as well.
Was that racism as well?
Well, nobody's going to talk about that.
You brought forward a recent case, an officer-involved shooting that I just want you to go back over with again. This is the officer fighting with the
Yes.
much larger man. Hey, could you just run that past me
Yeah,
again?
I honestly don't remember exactly where it was because there's been quite a few of these lately. But the officer, the way the video started that I saw was he had to do a takedown maneuver on this man, and the officer was much smaller than the man, and he did a great one, and he took him down to the ground. And as he was on top of the man, and the man was struggling, and he was turning over, he reached into his pocket, and he very very clearly pulled out a weapon, a gun, and the officer jumped up backwards onto his feet and he shot him and killed him. Totally appropriate shooting in my mind, but you see how fast these things happen and how fast they go downhill. And the same thing, Ron, actually with the one with the person with the knife. When we're talking about communities sending out mental health people to these kinds of calls, I mean, you just see how fast these situations can degrade. Somebody's going to be killed besides the suspect. these people that are coming out are going to be unarmed, and they are not going to have a chance.
And for full disclosure, Linda, and you know this, I mean, I've been a police practices forensic expert for 36 years. My first federal case was Rodney King, and I worked for the United States Department of Justice at the time. I was brought in as a non-disclosed expert and worked on that case. And then, of course, I've done a tremendous amount of civil rights work, predominantly experting for people of color on excessive force cases, including officer-involved shooting homicides. So, as you know, my advocacy is not for entities or people, it's for facts and forensic evidence. And I'm supposed to be a truth finder and a truth gatherer. And every case is what it is. And people just need to know that. And so when there are false narratives, when there are blatant lies, when there are deliberate misrepresentations as to what occurred or didn't occur, then it's the job of people like this and my forensic death investigations team to find out what the real truth is. And of course, I live in the world of statistics. Being a criminologist, a criminal scientist, I live in the world of statistics. And so I just thought to place this whole thing into context, just give out a few statistics and let that set in for people. We got time for me to do that?
Sure.
All right. Well, I want to talk about six different cities, six major cities where we all see things going on, right? And the first one, of course, and I pick on it all the time, is Chicago. And so to date, right now, in the city of Chicago for 2020, right? They have had 602 shooting murders, and they have had 2,918 shooting wounded incidents. So we have a total of 3,520 shootings, of which 602 ended up as homicides. 99.6% of all the shootings that take place in the city of Chicago are citizens shooting other citizens, of which 97% are people of color shooting other people of color. Isn't that amazing? 0.04% of the shootings in Chicago are officer-involved shootings. So, in other words, so far in 2020, and we're towards the end of the year, only 13 total shootings, of which five were fatal. So 99.6% of the shootings in Chicago are citizens shooting other citizens.
Well, and the news who and the media whose job it is to investigate and report will never say this. Now, these stats are easy for anybody to get, anybody.
Absolutely.
And it's not some big secret. This is not hidden information. It's out there. You can look it up every single day.
Yeah, you can just Google the media. You can just Google shootings in Chicago statistics. It's going to come right up. One of our favorite, sites is heyjackass.com. I know it sounds like a very strange kind of site, but it's absolutely filled of forensic data that is vetted, completely
And it's
vetted.
quite fascinating when you read it. So my point is that the media does not report this at all. What they report is that, the police are the ones who are
The violent ones.
disproportionately shooting people of
Right.
color, and that is not true at
Well,
all.
let me give you a couple of really quick statistics with regards to the city of Chicago alone. So people of color in the city of Chicago to date have shot 365 times more people than police officers. 365 times more people than police officers have. And by the way, again, 97% of all the people that civilians in Chicago kill are people of color shooting people of color. They have killed people of color in the city of Chicago, have shot and killed 120 times more people of color than the police have. Absolutely incredible statistics that you never see on television. I mean, you don't even see them in the conservative areas like Fox News and One America News, you know, that I work with, unless Dr. Ron's on One America News talking about these statistics.
Right, and you really don't even see the management of the city of Chicago handling this problem either.
And their mayor has just said in her defunding of the police department, she's going to defund 64 more positions. So with all this violence going on in the city of Chicago and increases of about 30 some odd percent over last year in shootings and killings, 30 over 30% more in just 1 year, which is amazing, she is going to reduce the force by 64 officers.
Can you imagine, think about the money that it will save to reduce by 64 officers, and then compare that to the money that it would gain by adding officers, solving the problem, and having the millions of people flood into Chicago for all of their wonderful food and shopping and theater and jazz clubs and all of the things that there are to do in Chicago, where people are staying away in droves right now because they're afraid to go there. Think about that disparity of money and how much smarter of a decision it would be to solve this problem and have people come back to the city.
No, and you know, Chicago is a city that you and I have frequently visited before COVID, and we love walking around in that city. You and I love to get on the riverboat, you know, that go around and do the architectural tour and the river tour going out, you know, into the lake and all of that. And of course, Chicago is a wonderful venue for foods. And you know, I'm a foodie and I love to go to Chicago, but I am not going to Chicago now because I'm concerned about our safety if we do go to that city.
Absolutely. And
And it's not the only one.
there no, and I want to talk about some more of those because there's a whole lot more to talk about.
Exactly. So when we come back with a cup of coffee, I'm going to go over six major cities that we have in the United States. I'm going to go over their shooting and killing statistics and compare and contrast that with officers involved shootings nationally.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us, we're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com, DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice. Okay, so when we last left off, I was going to talk about some statistics from six major cities. Now, one of those cities I've already talked about, and that's Chicago. But I want to talk about five more cities and add Chicago to it, and that's Philadelphia, where we're seeing a lot of riots and unrest right now, and St. Louis, Missouri, and Washington, D.C., and Baltimore and New York City. So I want to just talk about those and the statistics. First of all, let me tell you that every single one of those cities, including Chicago, has had significant increases in shootings and killings during the year, and not officer-involved shootings. We're talking about civilians shooting and wounding and shooting and killing other civilians, of which way up into the 70s and 80s and 90 percentiles are people of color shooting, wounding, shooting, killing other people of color. So let's just go over to the city of brotherly love, which is Philadelphia. So far in 2020, they have shot and killed 301 people. Not officer-involved shootings. We're talking about civilians shooting and killing other civilians for an increase in double digits. By the way, all these cities are in double digits, but double digits, a 33% increase over the amount of people that were shot and killed by other civilians in 2019.
And the year's not over yet. And now that they are in the middle of looting and riots again, we probably will see that number go up. I do want to say something about the looting and riots going on in Philadelphia recently. In no case does looting and riots solve anything. And in no case are looting and riots really related to the murder or the shooting death of a suspect by police. They are opportunistic adventures that people look for something like a shooting to happen that lets them go out and justify them stealing and looting. And in that city, there's many businesses that are owned by people of color, and they are destroying their neighbors' businesses, and they're destroying the businesses that actually help support themselves. Because in Philadelphia, besides all the little local businesses that they've looted and destroyed, they also looted Target, Walmart, Family Dollar, things that where people go every day to get clothing, food,
That is cheaper.
essentials.
That is cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not Neiman Marcus, right? It's not
Exactly.
Coach, right? It's not Tiffany's. These are places where everyday people, everyday blue-collar workers, and even people that are, working fast food industries, working in more menial jobs, people trying to make ends meet, and they're going to the cheaper stores like Walmart and like Target and dollars. Okay,
Well, I'm gonna
and
end. Those
so.
are all good, reputable stores. But are those stores going to want to stay open in those neighborhoods when this is what they have to deal with? Why should they do
And you
so?
know, you raised a really good point, because what they saw in Baltimore when we had riots and everything last year, if you remember, and before that with Freddie Gray and all of that, of which I wrote about in the book, and that is they like CVS and small mom and pop stores. They pulled out and they did not return. Now, going back to the Michael Brown case, where we had George Soros funded and Jay-Z and Beyoncé Carter funding revolutionaries from the Black Lives Matter movement and MoveOn.org, came in there, paid mercenaries through those two organizations. George Soros paying for them from the Tides Foundation, which is a uber secret, black money operation. Open Society, and then Jay-Z, Beyoncé Carter, people like that funded those mercenaries to go in there, and they burnt, they looted, and they burned predominantly black businesses in Ferguson that have not returned because the people can't afford it.
And they have never returned.
And they don't
So,
have insurance.
and it's been what, four years since those riots, and the businesses have not returned. So it damaged their community of the good people that do live there. So it you take the few that just want to cause trouble, and it damages the communities for everybody. And in Chicago, for a second, back to Chicago, when they had riots and looting recently there, a lot of those businesses in the main area there on the Miracle Mile, is that what they call?
Michigan Avenue.
They left permanently as well.
Right. And they're not going to come back. And when people say, well, you know, it's a property crime, looting is a property crime, they have insurance. No, they don't have insurance for things like looting and arson and things like that.
Well, it's not a property crime. It's also a crime to all of the people that work there, that live in your community, that now have no job.
Oh, no, Linda, but I absolutely get what you're saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That's, I'm talking about what the progressive left and what the Marxists and socialists say, and people in the mainstream media that want to mitigate that, you know, mitigate that damage. No, you're 100% of what you're saying is absolutely true. It is a crime against society. But better yet, I want to return to a very salient point that you made a couple of minutes ago. And, you know, we're talking about, this doesn't serve any purpose. What is the connection between the arsons and the looting and the, you know, all of this at Target and Walmart and police allegedly disproportionately shooting people of color? What is it? Where is the social justice in looting and burning these stores? You know, where is the social justice? What are they trying to do to bring about social justice? Do you get my point?
I do. So in Philadelphia, how many people of color have police shot this year?
A handful. And the people of color have shot 301 other people of color. And like I said, that's a 33% increase. You know, we were talking about Ferguson, which is in Missouri. All right. Well, St. Louis, Missouri is one of the, has historically for the last few years has been the number two to number one per capita leader in shooting violence in the United States. Okay. So it's per capita, right? So many shootings per 100,000 people. Now, they shot and killed this year so far in St. Louis, Missouri, 207 people. Now, they didn't give a percentage, and I tried to find it, but they didn't give a percentage over last year in 2019. But what they did say, and this is readily Googled, all right, in the news media, in their own news media, it is a 25-year high. They have not had this level of gun violence for 25 years. So I think that's amazing. You know, we're talking about Washington, D.C., and how many of our activist politicians, the Ilhan Omars and, you know, the people like that, the AOCs and everything that are activist politicians in Washington, D.C., so far this year, they've shot and killed 151 people. People of color shooting other people of color and killing them. 151 gun violence homicides, which is an increase over 2019 by 18%. Now, Baltimore, we talked about Freddie Gray and the riots going back to like 2016 and things. And I wrote about that in the book. In Baltimore, so far this year, they've killed 250 people. Not officers. These are civilians killing other civilians. And here's a big one. New York City. New York City so far has got 242 gun violence homicides, citizens killing other citizens. And the rise in the gun violence in the city of New York over 2019, an astounding 166% increase. What do you think about that?
Well, here's what I think. I think in all of these cities, which are all Democratic-run cities, they have put up with this. They have babied these people. They have chosen not to prosecute them and not even allow their officers to arrest people for committing the crimes of looting and rioting. And they have encouraged a environment for the people where the criminals get away with anything and they know it, so they take advantage of it. So you have in New York, you have Bill de Blasio, who doesn't like police at all. He's defunding the police. He completely discontinued some of their major task forces there. And the people in New York know it. So when our politicians act that way, Ron, the criminals take advantage and they know that they can. So they're not being arrested for all these things. Even in New York, they were not arrested when they were looting and vandalizing all of these, you know, high-end stores in New York, in Manhattan, and it's unacceptable. If we would follow the rule of law everywhere, which says that it's a crime to break in, it's a crime to loot, it's a crime to steal, it's a crime to start fires, and arrest these people and give them the maximum sentences, we would not have these problems.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct. And what I refer to these people as is I refer to them as the fifth column. So the people that are working against the protectors and enforcers of the rule of law. So we talk about mayors, we talk about city councils, we talk about county boards of supervisors, we talk about activist district attorneys and activist judges, and even activist law enforcement administrators and weak law enforcement administrators. And so a great on-topic point I want to raise is just this week, while they had the riots in Philadelphia, one of the deputy police commissioners, called, his last name is Singleton, I can't remember his first name, doesn't matter, but one of their own deputy police commissioners ordered the police officers not to arrest looters, simply to disperse them, not to arrest them. And of course, we get up in Portland, where the district attorney, who is a George Soros funded new district attorney, has stated in that county that he is not going to prosecute rioters in you know, and people that have assaulted police and
so
everything like that.
Why wouldn't they do it? Why wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
What is
amazing.
Their disincentive
I don't know.
Commit these crimes?
Well,
do you think, Ron, that people in America want to live this way?
Oh, no, I don't think they do. But, you know, here's the problem. And if we go over to Portland and, you know, we're talking about they're having a mayoral election right now. People are running for mayor. Okay. And we've got Ted Wheeler, who was started out being an Antifa supporter. Now we've got a female. I can't remember what her name is, but she's absolutely an avowed Marxist who says that she will be the Antifa mayor, the first Antifa mayor. And so that's in Portland. Then you've got the Portland Fire Commissioner, who, for all respects, if you see a picture of her, she looks like a crackhead. The mayor-to-be, or the person who's running for mayor, and it's going to be a tight race between Ted Wheeler and this gal, she said, if I get elected mayor, I am promoting the fire commissioner and making her the police commissioner. Now, I think most people don't know that Ted Wheeler, who's the current mayor in Portland, he has got the unique position where he is also the police commissioner.
Oh.
So you've got the mayor and the police commissioner. Can you just imagine that?
Well, I remember that fire commissioner standing out in front
Hardesty,
of crowds,
I think is her name.
Absolutely inciting riots and talking about the police and how terrible they are, and, you know, absolutely inciting people to violence. So that is not the kind of person we need as a police commissioner. It blows me away that a city like Portland can go downhill so darn fast.
Well, that's just incredible. But, you know, in the last couple of minutes, I want to throw out some very meaningful statistics. And just, again, to conceptualize that for our listeners and followers, to sort of conceptualize what the heck is going on here. And I'd like to return to the city of New York. So in New York City, In 2018, they had 35 officer-involved shootings. So they had, and don't forget, they've got millions of people in the city of New York. But they had 23 on-duty officer shootings, and they had 12 off-duty officer shootings, for a total of 35. In 2019, they had 52. So they had a rise of 32% in their officer-involved shootings, both on-duty and off-duty. But with a 166% increase in civilians versus civilian shootings, it still means that civilians shot and or killed five times more of their own citizens, predominantly people of color, than the police. Again, 5 times more. So again, what are we talking about with regards to how violent officers are? It's a complete false narrative. Police officer injuries between 2018 and 2019 rose 4.5%, but officers injuring the public during arrests, that's down 5.7%. Okay, so what we are doing is actually, in our methods of de-escalating, and you know, we're not hurting them as frequently, but they're hurting us more.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're getting away with it because they're not being prosecuted for it. So they know that they can get away with it. So they do it more.
Absolutely. And so just one more statistic before we kind of bring this little story to a close. And I said, you know, we have 600,000 police officers working out in the field in the United States. And those 600,000 police officers, deputy sheriffs, people like that out in the field, that make tens of millions of contacts with the public every month, tens of millions of contacts, of which only 1-2% resort to any use of force, and a very, very small number resort to deadly force. We only had, in the entire United States, we had 1,004 officer-involved shooting fatalities. In 2018, we had 996. So police are not getting more violent. The increase in officer-involved shootings with this whole resistance movement that we talked about, you know, in the first segment of our coffee conversation, has only risen 0.08%. So 0.8% between 2018 and 2019. Obviously, we don't have the 2020 statistics, but that just again is demonstrative that the police are not the ones that are violent. It is the public that needs to de-escalate.
Well, it absolutely is. And the media needs to do responsible and correct reporting, because they're adding to the violence by the messages that they send to America.
Absolutely. And you know, the one thing that I would encourage people to do is hang on to this show on Talking While Married, grab it up in the cloud, capture the link, and send it out on social media, because all of the statistics that I'm giving are all vetted statistics that are easily found. Ready for our last cup of coffee.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Ron, you were talking about the media and the job that they don't do in finding out true information and reporting it. And we have, during the election between President Trump and Joe Biden, Biden's spokesman, Andrew Bates, came out and he made an absurd claim, which he said the president was the worst jobs president since the Great Depression. And I just really beg to differ. And I don't know why the media doesn't come out and really correct him, or has not corrected that whole misinformation, but I'm going to correct it right now. So at nearly 159 million people, we had the largest number of Americans employed ever.
And I think people that are common sense, whether you're liberal or conservative, should be able to understand that, because every single night before the COVID hit, the jobs market was out there, okay? How was the job market doing? How was it doing? And it was constantly going up.
Well, and so much better than it did under Obama Biden. At 3.5%, we had the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years, and we had record or near record lows for Blacks, Hispanics, women, people with only high school educations, handicapped people, veterans, Asians, you name it. We had the best employment for people of all races and all social economic type, you know, stratus in our communities. Every month of 2019 experienced 3% or better yearly wage growth, which has been unheard of. It hasn't happened actually since 2008.
That's right.
Which was before Biden and Obama were even in office.
That's right, because the wages have been stagnant under the entire...
For a very long time, yeah.
And during the entire Obama-Biden administration, wages were stagnant.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that happened as an employer, I could see this all the time, that we had more job openings than we had people to fill them. So we had a million more job openings than we had people to fill those jobs. No president in history before President Trump ever had even a single month where job openings exceeded people unemployed since they started recording, which was in the year 2000. But every single month with President Trump, that happened in 2019. People started coming out of the woodwork to take jobs that, you know, that were available that they had never been able to take before.
And one of the things that they did were they were able to jump jobs. If they were in a job that they didn't find satisfying, in other words, you know, they didn't really like the job or they didn't like the money, they would jump jobs. And before, they wouldn't do that because there was no security. There was no job security if you left a job. You may not get another job.
Exactly. And it was definitely that way. Again, as an employer, I can say from my own experience, it was definitely that way during the Obama-Biden administration that people were they just did not want to leave their jobs because they were very afraid of getting another job. The median wage for people... medium family income rose 6.8%, the largest one-year increase on record going back to 1967. So the record high of the family income went up to $68,700. That's amazing to me.
Well, that's a lot of money for a family of four.
Well, I mean, it's certainly better than it was.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So to say that we had a bad jobs market under President Trump,
and that he was not a job creator, is just disingenuous.
It is. The poverty rate decreased by 1.3 percentage points, the largest decrease on record going back 60 years to 1959. And it hit a new all-time low of 10.5%. And finally, the income equality, which is... men and women not making the same amount, or people of color not making the same amount, or the people of you name it, you name the group, and but the disparity decreased for 2 years in a row. So all of these things, I don't know what planet they're living on and when they're reporting these things, and they throw them out dishonestly because those sound bites just, you know, somebody believes it, they hear it on the news, it must be true. And, you know, Biden's guy said it, and it's not right. And it's very frustrating to me because I just think that President Trump did such a wonderful job in our country for jobs. And I'm hoping that we can definitely get back there no matter what happens in the near future, that we need to keep down that road of keeping America employed. Well, and continuing with our topic of news and media, I don't know if they qualify as media, but our big tech giants were called in front of the Senate recently, and they had to answer to why they censored the stories about the Hunter Biden laptop and a lot of other conservative comments and news and political things that have been happening. But you know what they couldn't answer? They could not answer that they have censored any liberal news.
Well, that's because they haven't. So we're talking about what I refer to in big black tech as the triumvirate. That's an old Roman term, okay? Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Twitter's Jack Dorsey, and Google's Sundar Pichai.
Yes.
And I tell you what, as a guy that's been to Facebook jail a couple of different times.
You've been censored.
And as a guy that had a formidable number of people following me on LinkedIn in contacts, I think it was around 8,000, that one day suddenly disappeared. And nobody from LinkedIn could account for it. Nobody from LinkedIn was responsible. Nobody from LinkedIn responded to my complaints. These people, they're all the same. And they are media. They are social media. And they're social media giants. And they're the biggest ones. They are the central players in all of social media propaganda that's out there. They make the decisions of whose thoughts and whose stories appear for other people to consider, while at the same time censoring things that they disagree with.
Yes.
And I have a real problem with that.
We all should have a real problem with that, because we have a First Amendment or we don't.
Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, we should not allow big black tech to control what our thoughts are going to be and what our comments are going to be, as long as they're not, you know, hateful, destructive, and violent.
Inciting violence, I don't approve of.
Exactly.
But they let people post on there that are world terrorists, and yet they censor a conservative in America.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, I got censored once for posting a video of Ilhan Omar doing something activist and somewhat revolutionary in the Middle East. And I posted the video, and I got sent to Facebook jail for, I think it was like 21 days or something like that.
Well, you got sent to a local jail thing, whatever, media jail, social media jail for a local thing for posting one of my articles.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. You know,
I never incite violence.
You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a parolee and I feel like I should go get inked up.
I think you should get a tattoo every time.
Yeah, Dr. Ron,
happens.
The bad boy. So, I mean, what the heck is going on?
And well, you know what's going on.
Of course I do.
Yeah, they're trying to sway elections and public opinion about any number of things that they want to go a different way or a certain way. So therefore, they're going to only let people hear that side of things. And this is how it runs in a socialist country.
Oh, it's more than that. Not only in a socialist country, but in a communist country, or even in a Nazi-esque country. Because the first thing, let's take ourselves back to fascist Italy and neo-socialist Nazi Germany at the time in the 20s and 30s, moving into the 40s during World War II. What was the first thing they did? They got rid of the media. What was the second thing they did? They installed their own media.
Absolutely.
And in Germany, it was the propaganda, Ministry of Propaganda, and Joseph Goebbels, that was the Minister of Propaganda. And that's who I see Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, and Sundar Pichai as. They are the new triumvirate Ministry of Propaganda, and predominantly for the left.
Yes.
And do you know why I'm shaking my head about this? Is because even these guys, these multi-billionaires, don't even know their history. Because in a Marxist regime, in a socialist regime, in a fascist or Nazi regime, what's the first thing that they did? They got rid of the media platforms, and they put in their own platform.
Well, and that's exactly, in some way, what they're doing. I thought it was really interesting that the three triumvirate, as you call them, you know, they pretty much just acted like they, well, you know, I didn't know that was going on. So
the false contrition.
Facebook Was that Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he said
Yuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
He said Yuckerberg.
No, he said that he didn't know that his person controlling the election information had used to work for Joe Biden. So, I mean, really? You don't know that?
Your vetting is that bad?
Yeah,
you're
I'm
that
sure,
stupid?
I'm,
you're that
you
disengaged?
You can vet my little tiny Facebook post, but you can't vet one of the most important positions in your company? They're lying.
Well, look at Google. Look at what Google does with regards to Second Amendment issues. Now, as you know, we own a firearms company, and we teach people gun safety, carrying concealed weapons, self-defense. But yet, I can't advertise properly on Google as a platform because it involves firearms. And Google is against firearms. And it doesn't matter whether the training is good training and it's safety training so that people don't shoot themselves. They don't care. If the word gun, if the word firearm is used, you're not going to have a platform to advertise your product. And so I can't demonstrate a Second Amendment right of advertising on the Google platform.
No,
because
can't.
I'm not allowed.
And Jack Dorsey from Twitter, he was putting negative labels on things that were conservative on Twitter, and saying, well, you know, we haven't vetted this and it could be not true. And he was actually doing that on our president's tweets.
Correct.
But not.
Not on the Biden ones.
No, and not on foreign dictators like Iran's Ayatollah Ali Khamenei.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, seriously, you do it to the president of the United States, but not the head of Iran. His credibility is gone as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, the whole Section 230 thing that they hide behind, that has to be revisited and that has to be
changed.
Well,
that's exactly what they're
okay?
doing.
Okay, because we all need to be protected, whether we are, we're conservatives or whether we're liberals or whatever, we all need to be protected. America is about a demonstration of your First Amendment rights, and these people have no business removing our First Amendment rights. I mean, I think Ted Cruz said it best. Who the hell are you? Who the hell are you?
Who elected you? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Who elected you, God, so that you get to tell everybody what they get to think? You know.
I think the Twitter guy Jack Dorsey lost more credibility than anybody else because he definitely selectively suppressed content harmful to Democrats, and he allowed content that's harmful to Trump and the Republicans to be put out on Twitter. So that's a clear violation of what he ought to be doing.
Well, I agree, and there's going to be more to come from this. Hey, listen, so Dr. Ron has got a new segment in Talking While Married.
Oh dear,
and
I
want to try it out on you.
Okay,
and it's called I Didn't Know That.
Okay.
So this is a test, and I'm going to do some famous sayings. Most of them are kind of old sayings, and I want you to know, respond, have you heard it before? And if you've heard it before, do you know where it comes from? All right?
I could tell you my answer right now. I won't know where anything comes
from. But they're going to be fun.
Okay.
Okay? Because Dr. Ron is all about fun. A shot of whiskey.
A shot of whiskey.
Where does that come from?
Well, it's got to come from the Old West somewhere.
It does.
Okay.
You're in there.
Okay.
Okay, so in the Old West, a 45 caliber revolver cartridge for a six gun cost 12 cents. And so did a shot of whiskey, all right? Or a glass of whiskey. It wasn't called a shot at that time. So if a cowhand came into a bar and he was low on his money, he would trade the bartender a 45 caliber cartridge from his cartridge belt for a glass of whiskey.
Oh,
and
I wonder if that
afterwards,
still works.
That transaction became known as a shot of whiskey.
Very good. I like that.
Buying the farm.
Buying
that
the
guy
farm.
Bought the farm. Have you heard that before?
Well, I definitely have heard it, but and it has to do with the guy pretty much died, so he bought the farm. So I don't know where that would have come from.
Okay, well, this is pretty cool, because during World War One, insurance was given out to soldiers. So soldiers could buy insurance.
Oh.
They could buy death insurance.
Okay, I get it.
And the insurance policies were always $5,000. And coincidentally, $5,000 was about the average price for a farm back in those days, in the early 1900s. And so if you died... And your
farm
relatives,
was paid for, right?
If you died and your relatives turned in your insurance policy, you literally could buy a farm. Therefore, you bought the farm.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
So now that's equating with somebody that's dead, all right? Ship staterooms. Now, you and I are cruisers. We love to cruise, and we talk about staterooms, and every once in a while, we give ourselves a little extra present, and we buy a stateroom. We rent a stateroom on the cruise ship.
Well, they're all staterooms. Some are suites, and some are not.
Or suites is what I was talking about. Staterooms. Yeah. Do you know where that comes from?
Ship stateroom. No, I have no idea.
Okay. So, in the old days, people traveled by steamboat up and down the rivers. And that was considered in those days to be the height of comfort. And so, the passenger cabins on these river boats were named after states, individual states.
That makes sense.
And so that's where the term came from. They were not numbered. They had the name of states. And so you would rent a state room.
Okay.
That's where that came from. So how about riffraff?
No idea on riffraff.
That person's riffraff.
Yeah.
You heard that before? Okay. So in the old days, the Mississippi River, again, we're back to traveling on waterways, right? So the Mississippi River was the main way of traveling from north to south. And riverboats carried passengers and freight, but it was too expensive for most people. And so they used rafts. And so they would go up and down the Mississippi River on a raft. And everything had the right-of-way over rafts, because rafts were considered cheap ways of traveling. And so the steering oar, you know, that big long steering oar that you see in the old movies on the back of the raft, was called a riff. And if you were on the raft, you were riff raff. And so hence people who are riff raff were kind of low quality people.
Low quality.
Anyway, I just thought I'd leave that.
Well, hey, I'm going to just share some news with you. Our Ladies of Liberty Sound Off show is starting, you know, officially soon on America Out Loud at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. However, you can listen to the show now. It is on the platform. Take a look. Look for Ladies of Liberty Sound Off and listen to the shows that are sort of the pre-shows and getting it started. And also take a look at all of the articles and listen to Dr. Ron and Linda every night, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Talking While Married.